Good morning. I'm excited this morning. I think I know what I'm talking about, but I think God has a clearer idea. Okay. This morning we're going to hear about Jehovah Rapha. In Exodus 15:26, we read God saying, "I am the Lord, your healer." And this is a good time for us now to be still and to know that He is God. How many of you know that our stories, our lives, are actually not about us? We're not the heroes in our own stories. He is. I challenge you this morning. I invite us this morning. I'm speaking to myself because when Guy asked me to share this morning, I wrote to him back saying, I'm not sure I'm qualified to speak about a healing God. I don't have a special gift of healing. I don't feel like I'm going to impart something special. So it's been a battle for me over the past 2 weeks to bring something. But the Lord knows who He chooses, I suppose. And He's been sharing His heart with me. So this is about Him. This is not about us. And so I invite us this morning to put ourselves aside for a while. Let's put our, you know, thoughts, our problems, our circumstances, our questions aside. Let's come and experience what we just sang. Open up my eyes and wonder. And I want to start with a challenge, because when we speak about the Lord as a healer, I wonder what thoughts or what experiences or what words come to our minds. How do we relate to a healing God? Do we start reminiscing all the times that we haven't experienced healing? Do we start problem solving the theology of why or how or how impossible it is? Do we start thinking, you know, healing and, you know, the miraculous healing is just, it's not for me really. God has blessed us with science and wisdom and, you know, the pills and everything and, you know, the surgeries. These all are amazing tools at our hand and we can enjoy them. I'm not discounting these. But are we not lowering God when we think that way? You know, basically a DIY healing session on planet Earth. And I want to submit to you today that this God who says, "I am the Lord, your healer," is not taunting us. Is not playing with us. And I submit this morning that we, all of us, at some point have to deal with this giant of unbelief. He stands against the opening up of the reality of heaven on earth. So what's your reality today? Is it overwhelming impossibility? Or is it faith and hope? I believe God's been speaking to me that He wants to bring hope in our lives. He doesn't want to leave us in despair when we're in a difficult situation. He's not amused at seeing us struggle. He says, "I am your healer." And the question is, will we believe Him this morning? So If I pause one moment, if these words are starting to unsettle you or they're triggering thoughts or anger, let's commit it this time to Him. Let's allow Him in. He has something to say. You know, sometimes I think to myself, God, has God gone, you know, is this a bad PR on God's part? You know, we're not experiencing what He's saying all the time, so maybe the PR is, you know, He needs to adjust His communication with us. And, you know, maybe He's gone wrong on that bit. But you know what? God is not confused about His identity. I think, if anything, we are. He knows who He is. He doesn't need to explain Himself. We're trying to explain things for Him, but He doesn't ask for it. A friend of mine passed away recently, and at his funeral, his sister was saying, "Stephen never lowered his theology to his experience." So I invite us to do that. Not to allow excuses for God. God doesn't need excuses. So the first, I want to share two main points. These are two main thoughts that I feel God has put on my heart for us this morning. The first thing is that God is willing. When asked for healing, Jesus said to the leprous man, I think I'll put it up here. No, I haven't put it here. In Matthew 8, 2 to 3, this is what we read. "And behold, a leper came to Him and knelt before Him, saying, 'Lord, if You will, You can make me clean.' And Jesus stretched out His hand and touched him, saying, 'I will, be clean.' And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. That evening," so this is later on in the same chapter, "that evening," verses 16 to 18, "that evening they brought to Him many who were oppressed by demons, and He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah," and this applies to us, "He took our illnesses and bore our diseases." The Lord is willing, but we don't always see it on earth. However, we're taught to pray this, aren't we? "Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So in heaven, God is willing, but on earth, I think we are invited to partner with Him to make it a reality. I'm not trying to explain why. I'm trying to give us keys to understand how we partner with heaven, how this healing God is still a healing God. But on earth, we don't always see it. We're invited to partner with Him. Sickness is an expression of the fallen world. It's not an expression of God's kingdom. It's not a sign of His sovereignty. Healing is His sign of sovereignty. We live in this world, but we're called not to be part of it. So what are we called to? We are called to healing and wholeness, both spiritual and physical. Let's accept it. Let's receive it. Let's welcome it. There are many stories of amazing healings, and I had one here, but I didn't feel the Lord wanted to me to share it. But there are many amazing testimonies of healing that happen, and we're inspired, and we think, "Oh, this is amazing, and God did it there, God did it here. Maybe He forgot me, or my friend, or my family." But you know what? Every time, and this is something my cousin was sharing the other day on in a podcast, Katia Adams. She was saying, she used to be like this. Every time her husband gave a word, she was saying, "Oh, why does, you know, why don't I get words like this? Why, you know, why aren't I able to impart such gifts?" And she says, "But I completely missed the point. The point is, whenever we hear about God doing something amazing, it's an invitation for us that it is a reality that we can enter into. As soon as we hear something that is amazing, it's so that we can stand in wonder. Our open eyes are in wonder in front of this amazing God. He can do that." I remember this amazing story, and it's probably one of the stories or miracles that I find most inspiring for me. It's this little girl who had a mental disease, and during Sunday school, a word is spoken, and she says, "I experienced it as if the clouds that I was in constantly had opened up," and she was instantly healed. I mean, sometimes we think that God is impressed by our situations. He's not impressed with our situations. There's nothing difficult for him. He's beyond it. He's not afraid of our questions. He's not afraid of our anger. He's not afraid of our emotions. He's not afraid of the most horrible situations we can experience. He is beyond all of it. He says just one word, "I am your healer." He doesn't say, "I'm your healer sometimes." He doesn't say, if you do things right, if you pray the right things, if you say the right formula, if you kneel down and pray, you know, not too long, not too short. He doesn't say that. He says, "I am your healer." Last night, I'm practicing this. I haven't entered this experience of healing of praying and getting healing every time. But God is teaching me. He's inviting me in it. And last night, we've been struggling to get Benedict to sleep in his bed. He just doesn't want to sleep in his bed. And I've been praying as a practice. I thought, you know, gotta put my faith into action. And last night he refuses to sleep on his bed, so he comes down from his bed and sleeps at so his bed is here and he just sleeps on the side. And so we've put a pillow there so he can at least, you know, not be on the floor. And so while he slept an hour or so, I'll pick him up and he'll muff a little bit and put him on the bed. And it usually doesn't last long because after 2 hours he'll come to our bed. I hate it. And this time he was, so he's, you know, he's sleeping there, and I was wanting to practice the second point that I'm going to share. And I started praying for him and thanking God and praising him and saying, "Thank you, Lord, for this little boy. Thank you for everything that you have for him. Thank you that you're standing right next to me. Now we're praying together." And he was here, he's been coughing. So I wanted to pray for healing. So I put my hand on him, and I knew that power went out just at that moment, because as I touched him, he shivered a little bit, and then he calmed down. And he slept most of the night in his bed, which was amazing. God works, even in our little situations. We all have our own struggles. So, God is willing. And the second point is, God is more than his healing power. Health is a His health is one of our national priorities. I was trying to look. You know, it's a good thing. It's something I practice as well. I will draw up all my bank account transactions and try to analyze where I've put money in, and I categorize it, and I try to see where are my real priorities. That, you know, I might think one of my priorities is, for example, giving, but when I look at it, actually, it's not that much of a priority. My mortgage is. So it's interesting to see where we put our money, because that gives us a clue as to what we're trying to achieve. Where is our heart? And I did this little research, and health is one of our national list in our list of priorities nationwide. We're blessed to live in a nation that can afford such expenditure. But you know, when you look on the website of the Office of National Statistics, we're spending 10% of our gross domestic product. That is almost 200 billion a year on healthcare. So I suggest, I think health is a priority. I was thinking to myself, imagine if we all experienced healing, that's 10% less of the GDP spending. We can do a lot more. 200 billion, I think we can do a lot with. I remember visiting Ireland once, and there was this big, huge building, and it was empty and derelict. And on top was written something to do with cancer. And I thought, and this thought, and it's haunted me since. Imagine a land where we all experience healing. We're going to get a lot of buildings like that. Hospitals empty. And I suggest also that the enemy uses this desire and this priority as a trap. Again, referring to Katya's sermon the other day, she says, we look to own the power of God instead of partner with the power of God. And so when we don't own the power of God, we start getting cross. God invites us to live by faith, not with our natural eyes, but what the Spirit reveals to us. I keep praying, Lord, teach me to live the way Jesus lived. It says Jesus said and did what he saw God do in heaven. He brought the reality of heaven on earth. The reality of heaven is very different. I think we have no problem believing that there is no sickness in heaven. Faith demands us to partner with him. But partnership with God involves surrender, not control, not sidestepping him, not making excuses for him, not rationalizing our unbelief with flaky explanations. Now, when I was praying for Benedict last night, the Lord spoke to me as well, because he didn't heal him right away. He was still, he was still wheezing and everything. And I felt him saying, I'm not going to heal him right now because I need him to become stronger. I need his health to become stronger. And this planet, where there's so many germs and everything going on, he needs to be strong. So I'm going to wait a little bit so that his strength builds up. We see another example of this when the nation of Israel has come into the land, promised land, and the Bible says God didn't give Israel their full promised territory right away because they weren't numerous enough to populate it. And if he had, he said they would be overrun by wild beasts and they would be annihilated. God gives us what we can handle. I remember once, I think I've shared this once, but it helps me understand the how God operates with us and how he partners with us. I was jogging one day, and I felt God saying, I've put something really special in you that if I unpacked it right away, I revealed the whole thing right away to you, you would explode. You would not be able to handle it. I'm like, yeah, I always knew it was really special, but I'm wondering really what it is. A few months later, at a conference in England, so this was in France, I'd come to England for a conference, the speaker says exactly the same word. Did you know that God has put something really special in you that if he unpacks right now, you would explode? I'm all ears. Wow, I thought I was special, but apparently it's for everyone. And he said, it's the Spirit of God. He's put this, his Spirit, his full Spirit, the fullness of Christ dwells in us. But if he unpacks the whole thing, we can't handle it. God doesn't always bless us with the full blessing that he has until the end of our lives right away because we can't handle it. How many times we see, I'm trying to be ready for the day when I will win the lottery. So I've been doing some research. And one of the avenues of my research, obviously, was, you know, how to open a bank account in Switzerland and all that. But the second one was, how do you handle it? And I read all these tragic stories of people who've won the lottery, and overnight the whole family has been hooked on drugs. Or some people who've won the lottery and they have lost all their friends. And there are specialist consultants. This was mainly in the U.S., helping people, you know, to handle this huge windfall of millions of dollars. So, you know, one of the advices was, don't tell anyone for a whole year and live as if you hadn't won anything. Just live with your own, you know, work and everything, and then it will give you time to think about it anyway. So the point is, God doesn't bless us right away with the full blessings that he has because we can't handle it. He wants us to grow. And healing is the same. Not that we can't handle healing, but sometimes God uses the evil of the world for us to grow, for us to become more intimate with him, for us not to suddenly sidestep him and forget about him. And there's one other point. So the first, I want to just to recap quickly. First point was, God is willing. God is willing for us to be healed. Second one is, God is more than his healing power. So let's focus on God, not him, not his power. As a conclusion, I want to share a key. We often think of our walk with Christ as a very individual thing. It's a very Protestant approach, if I may put it that way. Let's remember that we are a body. We often forget that we are a body. Think of all the people you don't like and imagine that they'll be in heaven as well for you not to like for eternity. And that gives us a view, an understanding of how God wants us to operate. He wants us to learn to live together. We're knit together with joints and ligaments. We're part of one. What one receives, we all get. And victories are won together. God wants this to become a reality for us. He doesn't want just one person to be blessed and the rest forgotten. This is not some kind of an ultra-capitalistic organization. This is communistic in some ways, except it lifts us up. It doesn't bring us all down. It lifts us up. One gets, everyone gets. Because in the economy of heaven, I believe there is no competition. Because there are no limited resources. In his economy, resources are unlimited. And therefore, when one receives, everyone gets. So, James 5, chapter 5, verses 13 to 14, this is what we read about suffering and healing. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. This is an individual, right? Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. So when we suffer, we should pray. We shouldn't try rationalizing and explaining and sidestepping. And, oh, that pill will do it. You know, I'll continue limping. It's okay. But it also says, call others. Get others involved. Get the body involved. Let it become a victory for everyone. As God reveals heaven's reality, these prayers turn into a song. And so this is the key I want to share with you. Faith is expressed in praise. This is more than just an individual approach. This is a community approach. Let's build up faith with praise in the face of a wall that stands in front of us. And the biggest wall, as I said earlier, is unbelief. That's the giant to beat. And it's funny because it seems that since 2 or 3 weeks, what God has been doing is intertwining the messages and the words that we are receiving and the experiences that we're receiving. And one of them is what we sang last week. And I want to share again the background story to this song.
Here as a Bethel Music family, a few days before Christmas, most of you guys probably were a part of this miracle, but we watched Joel and Janie Taylor's little son, Jackson. And he was, a few days before Christmas, airlifted to intensive care. And we began to fight for Jackson's life. How many of you guys joined in that fight and that symphony of prayer that rose up for a little boy? And a couple weeks into the fight, we got a text one night from Joel that they weren't sure if he was going to make it through the night. And as soon as I heard and read the message, it was like this giant of unbelief stood in front of me. And I just thought, Jackson's going to die tonight. We're not going to see the miracle. And as this giant stood in front of me, all of a sudden, out of my gut, this song started coming out right in the face of the giant. Hallelujah. 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 I raise a hallelujah. In the presence of my enemies, As that giant was looking at us, I knew he was going to regret the day he ever pointed his sword at Jackson. Just as Goliath pointed his sword at David, the sword Goliath pointed at David became the sword the little boy picked up and took the giant's head off with. And as we watched this miracle happen in Jackson's body, it was like this giant of unbelief was falling. And our community just began to sing this song. It was just one note in the symphony of prayer rising for his life. So I want to teach it to you this morning. Let's sing.
Singing, we start praising. This is what happens. And as a community, when we rise up and we start singing and praising, something gets broken. Something opens up in heaven, because suddenly we're open to receive. Suddenly that unbelief is broken down, and we can step into a reality that is beyond our imagination. We can experience things like that little girl whose clouds open up and suddenly her mind has become normal. I can't believe it. I don't understand how this can work. How do the chemicals suddenly work out that this person who had a mental illness suddenly starts thinking straight? As if inside herself, she's completely fine. Outside is not working, because God suddenly makes us whole. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you're real. Thank you, Jesus, that you're working right now. I believe God wants to heal you right now. There are things going on in your mind. Just open up. Just allow Him to come in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's someone who's got a back pain right here. He wants to heal you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's growing cold. I feel it's growing cold for some reason. It's not growing dark. It's not becoming hot. It's growing cold. Hallelujah. God is healing you. Hallelujah. Someone's got an eye problem on the left-hand side. By the way, when I'm speaking, if you want to lift your hand, I can pray for you. Someone's got an eye issue here on this one. Maybe it's me, actually. You. Hallelujah. God is. I can see a rays of light coming from behind it, and you're going to slowly start seeing better. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to share something again. I had an issue with my eye. I would lose complete sight for a minute. It would just happen suddenly. And I was worried. I thought I was going blind. And I went to the eye doctor, ophthalmologist, I think that's how you say it in English. And he checked, he said, everything's fine, I don't understand, you need further tests. And I felt God saying, no way, you're not going for tests. This is mine to do. And it lasted for a whole year. For a whole year, from time to time, I would completely lose sight. My eye would just completely lose sight. And when you're driving, it's very unsettling. It's scary as well, because I love my eyes. That's probably one of the scariest thoughts I have, to grow blind one day. The enemy uses it. And it went. I didn't even pray about it or anything. After a year, it just went. I don't know what happened. Another time, I had eczema all around my eyes, and I just could not believe that this could be my reality. I kept praying. Then one day, as I'm praying, I felt a touch. I went to the mirror. Everything was gone. I've never ever had an issue with my eye again. It's interesting. Our fears, our most common fears, often become the giant to beat. Hallelujah. I don't know how to end this.
Well, I'd no idea what Andre was going to speak about, but as I was sitting, listening to him, and earlier, all Andre and I had said to each other is something's going to happen this morning. God's going to do something this morning. We just don't know what, which just kind of required a bit of faith, didn't it? I think God is speaking to two groups of people. And the first group of people, he wants you to know that his favor is upon you. And that is those people who have received prayer for healing time and time and time again. Those of you who feel overlooked or abandoned, forgotten. And I feel I can speak to you, because for years and years I had prayer for healing. I didn't see any movement. But that's when faith comes through. Faith, because you know the Lord is walking with you through that valley. And I feel the Lord wants to speak to you this morning and to say, you're not abandoned, you're not overlooked, you're not forgotten. His favor is upon you this morning. And that giant of unbelief that the healing prayer hasn't worked, we just want to pray over that this morning. So if that's you, would you come and join us at the front and we can pray for you? And then the other group of people, interestingly enough, is the rest of us who can lift those up in prayer and praise. And we can sing a hallelujah over you this morning. So would you come, would you mind playing some music for us, please, the worship team? Just while we ask you to be brave and to have faith this morning, that if you require healing prayer, and you've had that many times, please join us at the front. And then the rest of us, could we just sing a hallelujah over these people? Thank you. Would you like to stand? So the rest of us, guys, we're going to have to really sing a hallelujah, sing our praise over these at the front. It is hard when you have gone forward for prayer time and time again. So our faith needs to lift these people up to the Lord. Thank you. We're going to just create some space for ministry time. And then we will move into a time of having coffee and tea at the back. We'll continue to pray at the front. If we just worship now. Thank you.
salvation in your name. There is life in your name. There is no other name. Jesus, Jesus. There is freedom in your name. Healing in your name. There is power in your name. Salvation in your name. Thank you. hallelujah. Hallelujah.